This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by Green Chef.
This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit. We got somebody on the show today who's looking for a man. So if you are also looking for a man, you can see your potential future right now, okay? Inner Hoe Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she, her, they, and them.
And Akua, pronouns she, her. I didn't think of an intro. I am a black, monogamous, demisexual, omnisexual woman. There we are.
That's me. How the monogamous became monogamish.
Okay.
Talk about that on a future episode. Well, every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. On today's episode, we're getting very, very woo-woo. So if you're not woo-woo, this might not be for you. But it'll still be a fun listen, your choice. Today, we're talking all about astrology. Not my mic falling when I'm making a pun. You fucking bitch.
She was like, not on tonight.
I'm tight. What the fuck is going on? Is it because I said woo-woo?
It is.
Now the fucking spirits are like, bitch. All right.
I'm going to tell you what it is. It ties to our conversation today. Mercury is about to be in retrograde.
Carlin was telling me about that. Carlin was like, don't worry about sending me an email for the rest of your life right now.
Yeah, I think it starts next Tuesday or Wednesday. So we're in the shadow period of the retrograde.
Because if I get in my car and it says there's something wrong, someone's going to have, me and Mercury got to fight. We're going to have to go to space and we're going to have to fight. Oh, I don't got it. I'm tired.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. All right. Today we're talking all about astrology. Emphasis on the ass.
Ass. Work it.
We'll be getting into natal charts, houses, signs, planets, and the implications those have on your sex, love, and dating lives. Plus, we'll be answering important questions like, is astrology fatalistic? And why does co-star hate me, Samantha, specifically? What are the hashtags?
If you would like to follow along with this conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Hoe Uprising so we can see it and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inner Hoe Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can head over to innerhoeuprising.com to pay a hoe and to cop some merch.
There we go. Let's get into our topic of the day. The segment is called Fuck It. And as I mentioned in the intro, we're talking all about astrology, what it means when it comes to sex, love, and dating. And we're joined by a friend of the show, loyal IHU patron, trivia king, and captain of the Akua Hive, Jay Dooley.
Hey. Yo.
AKA Dooley Noted. So Jay Dooley is a 33-year-old gay academic gone creative. Formerly a PhD student of sociology, he hung up his scholarly robes and started leaning into his creative and spiritual foundations in his late 20s and early 30s. Dooley is from Detroit, Michigan, but currently lives in Washington, D.C. after leaving New York City for school. He's been reading tarot and engaging in astrology since 2012, focusing more so on intuitive reading and helping folks through difficult times with his learning. Aside from being interested in spirit, Dooley is also an aspiring personal chef, investing time in producing his own YouTube channel, Dooley Does Food. He got some good ass fucking recipes on there. So go and check it out, especially if you're on YouTube. He also spends time contributing to Maddie Rant's YouTube channel as a core host of their weekly show, The Panel, where they discuss LGBT pop culture, drag, and various LGBTQ-centric current events. Welcome, Dooley.
Welcome, Dooley.
Hello. Thank you for being here. I'm excited to be here. This is a full circle moment. I've been listening since 2017. I have been there.
Julie has been here. And now he is here. Exactly. All right. So let's kick things off. Akua, you want to start with the first question?
Well, yeah, it's very basic. What is astrology, really? Like,
what is it? Okay, so first, I want everybody to take whatever preconceived notions they have about astrology and throw that in the trash. I think most folks are aware or interact with the commercial side of astrology. The stuff that you see on TV, Miss Cleo, all those girls, that's not really what this is.
R.I.P. to Miss Cleo, though.
Rest in peace. She told us she was from Jamaica. Sis was a con artist from Florida. Work. Yeah, rest in peace, girl. So the idea of astrology is that we are all spirit. We are all creative energy. And when we come to Earth, when we are born, there is a certain energy layout in the universe based upon where the planets are, what's ascending, what's descending, and what goes where. And that affects the energy that you have when you come to Earth to be your person in your body. Mm-hmm. That's probably the easiest way to describe what astrology is. From there, like, there's many different, just like with any discipline, there's one of many different ways that you can calculate all that stuff and kind of discern what means what. But like, at the foundation, that's what it is. It operates under the assumption that we are energy. And I guess to some extent that we have made an agreement with the universe to learn lessons and to do things before we have this physical experience. We are spirit having a physical experience. Mm-hmm.
I dig that. And what do you, before we really get into things, let's just get this out of the way. Talk about a little bit why astrology is important to you, and what do you say to folks who cast it away as woo-woo BS?
That's a really, really good question. So first and foremost, y'all know this, but I'm a smart bitch.
Dooley, like, is extremely fucking smart.
I'm a smart bitch. Okay. Reigning ISU Jeopardy champion.
The credentials, like, are there, okay? They are there.
I just love trivia. Like, I was always really skeptical about stuff like this. Like, as a young person, I had a tendency to lean hard towards, like, academics and science or whatever. I found astrology and tarot found me. But I came out to, like, the world as gay back in 2009, officially. It was like, I thought it was obvious, but it was like March 19th, I think is the day. But like, as I was coming out and sharing my truth with my friends and family, I also felt like I was going through a spiritual crisis, because I always felt tied and connected to spirituality. I've always felt tied and connected to the other or the spirit or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, as being Black, we usually have that first experience through Christianity, or it could be through Islam or some other Abrahamic religion. And that wasn't really fitting for me anymore. So I can't stay in this environment that seeks to destroy me. Like, that's insanity. I got to figure out what's going on. So I was going through this, like, spiritual crisis, spiritual renaissance, because what I grew up in wasn't fitting me anymore. It wasn't conducive to my spiritual, like, understanding or growth. And there was a whole lot of just, like, hypocrisy. Y'all know the characteristics of the Black church and some of the stories. Mm-hmm. Y'all know about that. So, like, I decided to try to seek out and try to figure out, like, what worked for me. So I went on a very spiritual kind of moratorium, and I was experimenting and trying to figure out what worked for me. So fast forward to 2012. At this time, I was doing my master's of couples and family therapy at Akua. I was at Syracuse University, but I was visiting home for Thanksgiving. Shout out to Ebu, my best friend. Him and I were like, let's just go into this little magic shop and see what's good. I kid you not, like, no tea, no shade, like, no exaggeration. I was walking down this aisle, just kind of like browsing, and this deck of tarot cards fell off the shelf as I walked by. Like, for real. Like, and it kind of startled me. And I was like, and like, I looked on the ground. I actually still have the deck. I'm going to show it to you. Give me a second. It's right here.
Yes, interactivity.
I'm like, we love a good show and tell now.
I still have it. So it was this deck of Ascendant Master Oracle cards. It had falling on the ground, and I picked this up, and I was just kind of like, what is this? But I kind of, like, you know how, like, you just feel drawn to something? Like, I couldn't explain it, but I was like, okay, I'll buy it. It was $13. Like, we'll see what it is. And then I also paid for a tarot card reading from one of the readers there, and, like, she read my life down. Like, I did not know that woman from Eve, and, like, she was telling me stuff about myself that, like, nobody would know unless they were, like, intimately, like, engaged with me, like, through life. So I was I was shook. From there, like, so one day I went back and I just started pulling out the cards and kind of reading what the cards meant. And eventually I started to experiment on, like, friends and family. And then they were gagged at the information that would come out of, like, these very elementary tarot card readings. So I was like, okay, there's something there. There's something happening kind of in the ether. And that's how I got started and just kind of continued to learn and educate myself from there. That's kind of how I got involved. What does it mean to me? I feel like astrology permeates almost every area of my life. I can usually tell, like, who I'm dealing with and what kind of energy, and, like, it helps navigate spaces. What astrology is not, it's not a get-rich scheme. It's not going to tell you how to hit the lottery. Astrology really is a tool for personal growth to help you tease out the things that you need to work on. It helps illuminate things that you can be good at. It's not a panacea or, like, a problem-solving tool for everything. I, as a social scientist, I also believe you have the biological, you have the social, you have the psychological, you have these other things that do play a role in who you are. I think astrology is one aspect of our personhood.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You can use astrology. There's different, once again, there's different kinds. You can use astrology to try to predict things. It's not always 100%, but you can find trends in the way things kind of operate or the way things have been. You can use it for love, sex, and dating. It's, once again, it's not foolproof. So, like, for example, you could have two folks that have two, like, natal charts that should coalesce, but because of personality or because of trauma or experience, y'all don't click. It's a tool to help. It's a tool to assist. It's not a cure-all.
All right. So though you started with tarot, you have ventured on into natal charts and helping people see how the alignments of the planets when they were born, you know, help them. Can you, and I think I may have already did it, can you explain what a natal chart is and the need to know terms and, like, reading your own natal chart?
Yeah. Okay. So your natal chart is, think of it as your spiritual birth certificate.
I like that.
So, you know, when you are born, you are given a birth certificate. It has your name, your assumed sex, your parents signed a little signature or whatever. Like, that's really what your natal chart is. It's a snapshot of the celestial bodies, where they were, what was happening with them at the time of your birth. I think there's different levels. There's different levels to reading or understanding a natal chart. I think at the basics, you have to know the planets and what they represent. So, like, for example, like, people usually know their ascendant sign, their sun, and their moon. So your moon represents yourself as an emotional being. It represents spirit. Your sun sign represents, like you at your core, like your prime energy that you exude. And then your ascendant sign, if you like math, think of it as like the coefficient at the beginning of your equation. It kind of affects and shades everything after it.
No.
If not, if you're taking a photo, you on Instagram, it's that filter that kind of shades your IG photo. Your ascendant sign is also usually the energy that, like, people experience when you first meet them. So think of your sun as, like, one level deeper. It's like your essence, but, like, not everyone gets that energy or has that interaction. That ascendant sign is going to be that first layer, right? I would say at the foundation, you should know those things. If you want to go a little bit deeper, you can learn about houses. So, like, your natal chart, if you were to look at it, it's a big wheel. So there's 360 degrees. And then the natal chart is broken down into 12 houses. So then your natal chart will place the planets in the houses, and that will also have a particular impact on how to read it. And then if you want to get into like advanced like natal chart reading, we can talk about degree theory, where like the literal degree that like something falls in will shape the way that the chart is reading. Also, you have to consider, it's called aspecting, but it's the interactions between all the planets. So not only do they exist like as themselves where they are on this wheel, but like they're interacting with each other and it will affect how your energy arrives.
So maybe this next question is too basic given how nuanced the actual chart is, but what aspects of the chart reflect your sex, love, and dating life?
That's a good question, Sam. So at the foundation, so your moon sign is, once again, it helps to illustrate your emotional or spiritual self. Your Mars sign represents who you are, not only with like in aggression, but it also represents sex, literal like sex. Mercury represents communication and how you choose to, it's one aspect of you expressing yourself. And then, so those are probably and Venus. Venus also represents love, beauty. So it's kind of a combination of them, but also like your ascendant and sun will also have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's kind of what you need to know at the basic level without like getting too far in the minutiae.
Got you. Ooh, this is so exciting. Well, we have to take a break because that's what podcasts do when they need to make money. Up next, we're going to get into our birth charts and the implications that they have on our sex, love, and dating lives. But first, it's pretty fitting for this episode. Let's talk about delicious food, something that all of us on the show today love so much. This podcast is sponsored by Green Chef. Green Chef is America's number one meal kit for eating well, meaning they're the best meal kit whether you're paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, pescatarian, or just want to eat more balanced meals. Green Chef's expert chefs curate every recipe, and with over 30 meal choices every week and the flexibility to switch plans, you'll never have to sacrifice taste for nutrition. You can enjoy restaurant-quality dishes in the comfort of your own home. And with pre-proportioned, easy-to-follow recipes delivered right to you, eating well has never been simpler. Never worry about having to plan or shop for dinner again. As someone who loves eating yummy food and saving time and money, Green Chef is really the way to go for me. And it can be the way to go for you also. So you can go to greenchef.com/IHU100 and use the code IHU100 to get $100 off. That's a lot of money, including free shipping. Once again, you can go to greenchef.com/I H as in ho, U as in uprising, the digit 100, and use code IHU100 to get $100 off, including free shipping. Back to the show. Akua, it's only fitting that you ask this next question.
So I volunteer as tribute.
It's tribute.
Let's get into my birth chart. And I think we'll focus on the things that you have already highlighted. Dually, my sun, my rising, my moon. Mars is for sex and communication?
Mm-hmm. Communication's Mercury.
Okay. So Mars, Mercury, and my Venus.
Mm-hmm. I have to go back. We put that together back in, what, June?
And when I said that thing read me, I was like, see, I didn't need this kind of disrespect in my life. You're not going to sit here and talk to me like this. I read snippets to Sam because I was like, listen to how this thing is talking to me. It's all true.
It was rude.
It's true, but like, you ain't had to send it to me like this. Like, dang, I like nice words. Like,
so for the listeners, usually what I will do is I will put together the natal chart, and then I'll go over that with the person, and then we'll do a tarot card reading to follow up. And in Akua's case, the natal chart read her, and then the tarot card read her again, and I was like, I'm so sorry, friend.
I'm dead.
I'm so sorry.
I was just turned upside down. Like, y'all don't got to speak to me like this. I am a gentle flower. Nice words are appreciated. I don't understand.
She really is a gentle
flower. Well, let's get into that. So, like, I think that's, like, that's kind of the core essence of your, like, your entire chart. Like, I pulled up the actual natal. So, like, you're a Cancer sun. But you have a whole lot of fire placements in your chart, which I think is so funny. So it's like, it gives me very much like at your core, you're very sensitive, very, very intuitive, almost to the point of like being self-sacrificing or like self-detrimental. But like, you're also a bad bitch because like all of this fire energy kind of sustains it. So it like, I think the chaos in it is like, you feel this fire and this like motivation to like be out and about and exuberant, but that water core is like kind of doing this as
wow, that's pretty fucking accurate when it comes to
that is me. And I think Sam had brought this up as we were prepping for the show about we do our Patreon meetings before we record typically, and y'all need to get into that. Y'all need to get on Patreon and get into that because it's great.
It's a good time.
But we were talking about astrology one day and like what it brings for us. And I was like, you know, learning my chart, learning these placements has helped me to know myself and feel more comfortable in letting that bad bitchery come out. Cause I really do be hiding it. I'm like, I'll pop out and then I'll slide right back into the shadow. Like,
Yeah. That's very palpable, like with these placements. Mm-hmm. You are a Leo moon. I'm also a Leo moon, so I understand that energy firsthand.
The drama. Tell us a bit about Leo moon and what that
is. I like to read Leos a little bit because I think I understand them kind of at their core. I've never seen a sign like so excited and like needing that validation and that acknowledgement, but also like don't know what to do once they have the attention. Leo moons like to be treated like royalty. Like you want to be wined and dined. You love to be in love and you kind of come alive like when you're in those particular situations. And I don't even think that that's just romantic love. Like that could be like agape, that could be like friend or like a relationship with like a sibling. Like you're willing to put in that effort and put in that energy to like keep it sustained. I think on the flip side, like Leo moons are very sensitive. They are very emotional. They have a tendency, like when they feel slighted or when they feel angry or disrespected, they have a tendency to lean towards exuberant displays. Exuberant displays of trying to like show that anger or the like distaste.
Yeah, so like I'll give an example of this. I remember I was dating a guy who like did something to irritate me because niggas, they'll do it. And my first, like innately, and I had to like talk myself out of this, I wanted to drive 45 minutes to his house. No lie.
Wait,
no,
hold on. If I was not hold in my on, right. Hold on. This is the type of shit that needs to be cut from the podcast. Note to self, I'm bleeping that out.
No, it has said, I did not commit.
We know you didn't.
But the feeling was strong and it was there, okay? Like, and I was like, you know, we gotta journal this out, Akua. But like that fire and like, you gotta know that I've been slighted. And that's a disproportionate reaction. Like, I should not, but also, yeah, you deserve it.
But you tried me, and you deserve the smoke. Like,
so yeah, that's how that shows up.
Yeah.
Just a tidbit.
Let's see, what else we got here?
Mars. Sagittarius rising.
Oh, Sagittarius rising. I think, so Sagittarius has like a traveler spirit. I should also mention this. So like within astrology, you can be living on the positive side of your sign or the negative side of your sign. Okay. And like, we all vacillate as we experience and make choices. Yes. So specifically for Sagittarius, I think like at best, like they're very like diversified, like worldly people. They like to travel, they like to experience things. They're usually very physical. Usually the sex is bomb because like that's a part of their whole just like existence conquest. If I remember correctly, I think they're ruled by Jupiter, which represents expansion and growth. Mm-hmm. But I would say if you're on the negative side of that particular sign, y'all are rude, y'all are chaotic. Sagittarius. So a word that's associated with Sagittarius is truth. They like to develop truth, but I think within that sometimes they usurped or block other people's ability to generate truth. Like truth can be relative depending on the set of facts, right? I don't think that based upon your placements, I don't think that's the case for you, Akua. I think it just speaks to that like need for excitement and new things and wanting to be out and about.
How does that translate to someone else experiencing it? Because like for me, I'm a Cancer. Like I feel like I am the epitome of a Cancer if you've ever seen one. I'm in the house baking cookies and shit. Blankets, coziness, kids, family, friends. I want all my friends in my living room. I'm going to serve y'all cake and cookies. We going to do the house thing. Like, that's me. But people don't experience that me until they get to know me. I don't know what a Sagittarius looks like to other people. One thing I get is that I'm very assertive. And I'm like, really? Me?
Yeah, Sagittarians have a tendency to be very, very curt, very straightforward. They are not dancing around. They don't give a fuck about the niceties. Like, it's just like, it is what it is. You should ask people. Like, when you first meet somebody, ask for an assessment and see what they say. I ask people weird questions like that all the time just because I'm curious about it.
Okay. I also don't want to be perceived by other people, so I don't. Like, I don't. It throws me off when I realize you can see me as a person. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. I also like to ask people, but then I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So their responses don't really mean that much to me. But this episode is going to change that. Thank you, Julie.
I remember Sam being like, I know I'm a Cancer. That's all I got.
That's all I got. Thank you.
It really is.
So we've done Mars. What's my Mars in?
Your Mars is in Taurus. You nasty. You are like the epitome of... So I'm a Taurus sun. I also have a Taurus stellium and a Capricorn stellium. My whole chart is just earth thing.
I'm sorry. You have to quickly explain to us what a stellium is.
A stellium. So a stellium is when someone has a particular sign. It shows up three times in their chart. Mm-hmm, so like okay. there's three placements in my chart that are Capricorn. There's three placements in my chart that are Taurus. So like if you're ever reading like astrological forecasting, if you have a stellium, you should be reading that in addition to whatever your ascendant sign is and then your sun.
Oh, okay.
So I always read Capricorn, Taurus, and then Leo. Oh, Mars and Taurus. So I think that's a great sign to have in that particular placement. Taurus, Mars is, it's very, think of like, it's just like exuberant luxury. You want to feel like a goddess during sex. You want to, like, especially for, like, female-identified folks, like, it's just that goddess, it's just this goddess energy. It's just, like, it's very Dionysian. Like, the sex is just very, just, like, it's an experience.
Okay.
Like, Taurus is just it's just a sign of just all of those just, like, carnal things. Like, it could be food. It could be sex. It could be exercise. Like, you're not afraid to do the work. It's slower and, like, more just, like, escalating as opposed to just, like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Like, it's an experience from start to finish. Mm-hmm. I think that's really descriptive of Taurus, Mars. As it applies, though, it shows that you have a temper, but it's a slow temper. Once you get there, you are there. and you are taking no prisoners. Which wow. probably does not gel well for the Sagittarius ascendant and the Leo moon. That's a lot of just anger.
It is.
No prisoners.
Wow. We mentioned Mercury. What's my Mercury in?
Your Mercury is also in Leo.
And that's communication, correct?
Mercury is communication. You got a fiery tug. Or you can. you have to always monitor the way that you talk to things. Things may not always come out like how you mean them. They might come out a little too sassy or have a little too much stank on what you're saying. Leo Mercury's, Leos in general, like, have a zeal for life. So I would say compared to some other signs, that communication is bubbly. It's necessary, though. I think Leo Mercury's, there needs to be, communication is compulsory. Like, you like to know, like, where you stand and, like, you got to have that concrete, like, experience of language.
I am that girl that's going to ask, so what is this, what are we, and what are we doing? What's the boundaries? That's actually been a conversation that's been percolating in my brain for a while with a specific person. I was like, and then I'm back and forth with myself, like, do we really, in the context of what it is right now, do I really need to ask this question? But it's compulsory. It's like, yeah, we do. We need to know.
What are the receipts? I need the receipts. Like, what's, I need the details. Like, what's going on?
I need to know. And lastly, my Venus is in Cancer, because, you know, that's me.
That's another, like, love, like, a sign that just loves to be in love, giving your all. It's a water sign, so it's much more emotionally focused compared to some other signs that might, that could be, like, experiencing love through thought or experiencing love through, like, physicality. It's interesting. Like, I feel like when Cancers are are balanced and living their best lives, like, top tier, but when they are not, I'd be like, you will suck the emotional energy out of a situation. Like, if it's not right, it explodes. It's devoid of moisture, it's dry, and there's no sustenance. You like to feel protected and safe within the confines of a relationship. Mm-hmm. I would say, based upon the other placements, like, you need a sense of adventure and you don't want to feel trapped or boxed in, but you do want to feel like you can be your real self. You can be safe. You can be connected. Cancerians are family oriented people. So you want to be able to build and establish something that's, like, for yourself and for your lineage. But I remember saying this to you, like, and it came up in the tarot card reading, like, you gotta advocate for yourself. Don't let stronger personalities, like, bully you into a situation that's not conducive to your own, like, love, growth, healing, exaltation, etc. Like, that's probably the one thing for Cancers. You gotta remember, like, I'm in this relationship too, and I deserve nice things.
Once again, I've been read. I don't know what to tell y'all. Like a book.
Okay. Low key, like, I just been over here, like, making faces. If you see on YouTube, I'm fucking scared, because me and Akua always joke, like, we're the same person. We have so many of the same placements.
We do. It was never a joke that we are the same person. If I was nodding my head
a little too hard at particular things, it's because Dooley was also reading me.
We are the same person.
Like, I'm literally shook. I'm literally fucking shook. What the
fuck? We be understanding.
I feel like we shouldn't even be in the same room anymore. Like, it's too much. Like, the universe is going to explode. Like, what the fuck is going on? That is so weird.
Yeah, you and Akua definitely have a lot in common. Believe it or not, though, between the two of you, Sam is the more emotional person because of the way that the placements are laid out. You have some very interesting things going on in your chart, Sam. You don't like to show that emotional piece, but it's there.
She don't. Sam got deep waters, okay?
It's all up and through your shit.
Let me turn my camera off.
I'm about to perceive. Okay.
So there's a couple of things going on with Sam's chart that are unique. So first and foremost, not only is Sam a Scorpio ascendant, mm-hmm. so that's the sign that was ascending at her time of birth. You also have Pluto in the first house. So that means anything that Pluto touches in a natal chart, it exacerbates and makes more intense. Ooh. So Pluto touches your ascendant. So Pluto is in the first house, so then it affects the whole chart at large. But it touches your ascendant, which enforces it and makes it that much more intense. So, like, for you to have a Scorpio ascendant and then have the planet ruled by Scorpio in that same house and it's Pluto, girl.
So tell us a bit about a Scorpio rising.
Okay, so, like, I do think Scorpios get a bad rap. We always talk about the chaos and, like, ridiculousness that goes on the Scorpio, but it's not all bad. So we'll talk about a little bit of the positive and a little bit of the negative. So Scorpios are also a water sign. So we talked about Cancer, Scorpio, and then Pisces would be the other water sign. Each of the signs can be broken down into other characteristics. So there's mutable, there's fixed, and there is cardinal. Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't come with that in the moment. Scorpio is fixed water sign. So, like, you are the least flexible, but the most stable of all of them. So, like, you're the boss of, like, the all of the water signs. So, like, there's that layer. Scorpios are all about, like, sex, love, and death are kind of the three words that frequently describe Scorpios.
Wow. I will that's also crazy.
I would also contend that I would also add transformation to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So Scorpios are depicted by the scorpion in some circles for astrology. In others, it's an eagle or a phoenix. Mm-hmm. So it's about like dying to like become anew.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? That was a lot of words. So what does that mean? you have a lot of emotional energy. You feel a lot of things, and you feel a lot of things very deeply. So like that, like with your Cancer sun, that's a lot of emotion. So like I feel like you have to find a balance between like feeling your feelings. And choosing to like be active and allow for people to see you, but also protecting your peace. Mm-hmm. Because you can very easily swing from one way and go the other direction. At best, Scorpios can be some great people. Like they're really a really good people to like talk about trauma with, because they understand, like they kind of intuitively understand like the darker side of just like material life and existence.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a dark bitch. Okay, we say it all the time.
Yeah, like they can help you with transformation and understanding like parts of yourself that you may not like easily be able to access.
Mm-hmm.
Like a real like positive like connected relationship with people that have strong Scorpio energy can change your life. Like for real. Flip that. All that negative stuff they say about Scorpios is true. They will burn down your house. They will murder you. Like, it's just like, you tried to manipulate me. So Scorpios like to be in control, and they do have a knack for manipulation. But like,
let's hold it in so much.
She be like, we just gonna put this under lock and cage.
All of these things you're saying are true, and I really put boxes around myself to not be this kind of person.
Yeah, like,
wow.
At worst, like, a Scorpio like, will also just suck out all of the emotional, just, like, air, quote-unquote, like, out of a situation. They will, mm-hmm. But they coming for your neck, like, you hurt them, you cause them strife, and so now they're going to try to end you. Like, that's just, it is what it is. Like, that's just what the energy that it is, and so.
That is the natural inkling, yes.
That's
so a part of your life story for this incarnation is to learn what that means for you and how to deal with it.
Maybe in a past life I was a really, really horrible person, and now I'm just striving
maybe
to be better.
I tell people like this astrological landscape, it's really for you. Like you have to learn how to live with like the positive aspects of like your astrological situation and the negative part of your situation. So like I'm a Leo moon. And so I like the party. I like to be out in the streets. I want to spend money. I want to be ratchet. I want to do the right things with my friends. But like, I know that like, I got stuff to do. And so maybe now is not the best time to be cashing out and going to Tulum. Like, let me.
Because I just be, everything's in the cart and I'm just pressing buy. And I'm like, but you don't got the money, girl. Like,
you don't.
We can't cash out for this. We got bills.
Whenever a trip idea comes up, Aku is just like, tell me who I got to pay.
That's all I provide. Please just tell me who I send the money to. I will be there and I will bring the vibes. I say it every trip.
I know that's right.
That's literally what she
I know that's right.
Dooley, what does this Virgo moon mean for my life?
Okay, let me talk about that. So if there is another sign that I can read down, it's Virgo. My whole family is a gaggle of Virgos.
I have a lot of Virgos in my
family. My parents, too. My grandparents, several, like, I was reared by Virgos. So you have a Virgo moon. It's interesting. You have the same, I would say some of the same characteristics as Akua, just applied differently. Mm. So Virgos, once again, have a knack for organization.
Look, the absolute queen.
But we're talking about like your emotional. So for you to say that like you compartmentalize those other aspects for you is not surprising to me because that's very Virgo.
Here's the box for it with the label maker. That's where we put it.
Virgos are another sign that's very focused on hearth and home. So I do think you, the way that this is illustrated, like you would feel a draw once again towards their home life and building. Also very no nonsense when it comes to your emotional just like being. The downside, sometimes Virgos can be very self-sacrificing and or can be like experiencing like emotion and they try to keep their head down and push through it. But like your heart is like, baby, like pay attention to me. Like things are happening. You can't ignore this. Like that's also like an earth sign characteristic. We'd be like, we got stuff to do. Let's just get through it. Like, yeah, I love that for you. And it makes sense. It makes sense to me. Like it just makes sense.
Yeah, all these things make sense.
What is her Mars in? Because I don't know Sam's chart.
So Sam's Mars is in Taurus.
I was the same as you.
The same as you. Y'all nasty together.
And our
together.
Venus are both are also Cancer.
Yes.
The same.
And then Mercury.
Sam's Mercury is in Leo. This, I believe that was the same.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
Y'all have a lot of similar energy in y'all
we
charts.
Hey, never lie.
What is it called when you have three? A stellium?
A stellium.
Like, well, do you have a stellium?
No.
I have a Capricorn stellium and a Leo stellium.
I have a Capricorn stellium too.
Bitch.
And a Leo stellium. Oh, look at that. Look at that.
What the fuck is going on?
Really, we were twins, Sam, and they just.
What?
Could the universe be. Said that we had to happen in this way.
Y'all could be soulmates. Like, once again, like...
We are soulmates.
People have this perception that soulmates are only supposed to be romantic. And
no,
like,
my soulmates are my friends.
That's not true. And that part.
My soulmates are my friends. Like, these... When I'm with them, I'm like, these are the people that I meant to be with life. And, like, you cannot leave me because I will hunt you down.
It could be friendship. It could be a
That's
sibling.
When the fire comes out
it
again.
It could be a parent. Like, you're absolutely right. Like... It's possible.
Wowza.
Dooley, I'm going to commission you to read Dave's birth chart for me so I can know how to be a better parent in this case. That's what I'm going to need next.
Dooley, would you ever do like a natal chart reading event? Like, could somebody commission you? Like, I want to get all my closest friends together in one room and just have everybody read down.
Yes.
For the filth that we
have done that before, but I would do it. I think that would be really good.
That sounds a little chaotic, but I'm with it.
I should say this since we're recording. I need the girls to hear this. Please stop posting your natal charts on social media. You would not post your actual birth certificate on the internet. Please do not post your natal chart.
Or your address.
I know it's a thing that happens on Twitter quite frequently and it sometimes leaks into Reddit or Facebook, but like people that are like really adept at this kind of learning can take those aspects and can take that like blueprint to like manipulate you or give you like bad juju.
Ooh.
So like don't do that. I've seen the girls take screenshots of CoStar and I'm gonna mention her in a moment, but like they'll take a screenshot and then post it. And I always tell people, I know, like, please take this down. Like if anybody is super into like the occult or like witchcraft or other forms of divination, like they can take this information and...
Well, I have an important ass question. Have we revealed too much just now?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay. Tell me what I gotta bleep over.
That we haven't talked about. They don't know your aspecting. They don't know your houses or anything of that nature. We're just talking about...
But you can read that through the chart.
Yeah.
Like if I screenshotted this whole little circle thing, they'd be able to get all that information.
Right. Okay, all that too. Okay.
The other thing that I was
thinking of doing it, fuck you.
The other thing that I would say is CoStar is not the best.
Let's talk about it out there in these streets.
So CoStar is good for you to learn your placements in a kind of quick and easy fashion. It's accessible. It's good for learning placements and houses and to help kind of discern some like 101 kind of 005 level astrology stuff. But like, anything more in-depth than that is not really good for. Also, the creator of CoStar got dragged in 2020 because they admitted to gaslighting users, despite the fact that, like, what's happening astrologically could be positive. So, like, you could be, the universe could be saying, yes, go ahead. And then CoStar will gaslight you and be like, you're being suspicious right now. And it's like,
I remember hearing about that. Why did they say why they were doing that? Was it for like capitalistic gain or something?
In essence, yes. This happened in what feels like 5 years ago, but it was last
2020
year.
Was a
so
time.
I'm trying to remember the details of the conversation, but like, yeah, they admitted to like gaslighting, and the Twitter astrological community was giving hard side eye because it was silly.
I don't have their app because I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about, but. Like, people send me stuff, or I'll see stuff that they post on Instagram and people's stories and stuff like that. And whenever I look, it's just like, Cancer is the worst sign you could ever be. And I'm just like, this feels
okay. Bigoted. So, like, I frequently poke fun specifically at Sagittarius and Gemini because we all can agree that they act like that. But, like, we, in the full pantheon of, like, astrology, there's no one sign that's better than another. Everybody has positive and negative characteristics that are associated with that particular energy. And we all kind of vacillate and engage both that positive and negative energy as we grow up and experience various timely life events. So, but also, like, if I'm being fair, I would not put Cancer. Cancer would not be at the top of my most chaotic slash worst sun signs. There's some other girls that I would pick on first before I got to
Cancer. I don't know if I'm biased, but I feel like we're wonderful people who want to love you. And if you let us, it's great. I don't understand what the problem is. I don't know if that's just me.
Agreed. Would you say that astrology is fatalistic / deterministic?
No. I don't think so. I mean, so like you have... Once again, from my perspective, like, astrology is just a part of our entire humanity. There's still other things that, like, we have to acknowledge, the biological, the psychological, the social. We're also living under capitalism, under patriarchy, under sexism, so on and so forth. So, like, all of these things kind of conspire and have an effect on how we live. You also have this thing called free will and choice. So... That also factors in. I think astrology, once again, I choose to view it as a diagnostic tool in addition to like a spiritual support. So it's not going to give you all the answers, but at a minimum, it can point you at the right direction. And it may also help you discern or tease out certain things about your personality or your relationships that may not be palpable at the surface. But no, I don't think it's fatalistic. I don't think it's determinist. But I also think that runs concurrent. Like my own personal philosophy is that like we're co-creating our life journey, right? It's through like what we're giving our attention to. And like, sure, I personally believe that like the universe, God, Jehovah, whatever you want to call your person, or maybe lack thereof, it could be energy or whatever, like... Mm-hmm. We all, like, yes, there are things that we have come to this earth to learn and to experience so that we can become more perfect beings. I also believe in reincarnation. Like, energy never dies. That's science. So, like, what happens to our energy, like, when we pass away? But, like, my point is, I do think there are things that we come here to learn and come here to experience and come here to affect. But we also have free will, and you can choose to engage or not engage, and that will also affect your journey.
Would you advise, you know, that meme where it's like, she asked for the time I was born or whatever. Would you advise people to not give that information up to someone who they're seeing romantically?
Ooh, that's tough. I used to be that girl. That used to be me. Astrology is not going to solve all of your relationships, sex, love, and dating, like, issues. Like, it might give you a little light, a little illumination, but it's not going to be the end all be all. To answer your question, I think it depends. And I only say that because I think most folks have only experienced astrology like on the periphery, and they don't have the knowledge to like actualize or like actually use that information. So people have a tendency to use astrology to segregate themselves or to filter out a certain sign. And like, that's not really like what this tool is for or what there's like what it seeks to like describe. So you like legitimately could be not engaging somebody that could be good for you, that you would have a good experience because you have a negative connotation of Scorpio or Gemini or whatever it is. Like, it's not always that black and white. Also, people have a tendency to only know their ascendant, their sun, and their moon, which is a small portion of like your entire situation. It depends. If you feel drawn and you feel like you want to, sure. Back in the day, that was me. I used to ask those things up front. But like, as I said at the beginning of the program, like you legitimately, like I use myself as there are people that I should have been energetically aligned with. All their placements matched my placements. And we got there and it wasn't no chemistry. So like, it's not a panacea. It's not a tool that's going to solve all your things. Like,
right.
Take it under advisement.
Good to know. Good to know. And growth. Shout out to the growth.
Shout out to the growth. So we've identified that CoStar really isn't that girl. Can you help point folks to resources that can help them get more into astrology if that's what they're looking for?
Absolutely. Go ahead and download CoStar just for your level 101 to get your placements or whatever. Just don't lean upon any of those like little blasts they be putting on your screen. Okay. That's not really the tea. I use the Pattern. The Pattern app is fantastic. I really like the way that it takes astrology and makes it more conversational, ooh, more applied, more practical. There's more like prompts for you to read and to seek understanding. There's like points for meditation or thought or like prayer and stuff. Like that stuff is really, really cool. I really, really like the Pattern. I have learned a lot from some folks that are like on social media. One person that I really like is a young woman named Jade. She's IJ, but it's IJADEE. They are phenomenal. I subscribe to their Patreon too. Like they be giving the tea and I have like deepened my like spiritual and like astrological and tarot knowledge just through like engaging with them on social media, subscribing to their Patreon, just kind of engaging there. CafeAstrology.com is another resource that I use. They have everything. You can get a free natal chart there. It tells you, it takes all of that kind of like esoteric wordy stuff that I've said throughout this program today and breaks it down into small bites so that you can learn and understand. That's another really, really good resource. That's what's coming to mind now. Also, there's a lot of reading involved. So you have your online resources and your social media. Like, there's a 101 different books out there. Sam, I can give you, I have some on my shelf. I can give you a list of a few and you can put them in the show notes.
Dope. Yeah, that works.
Wait, I have a quick question regarding books because I got this book and I never finished it. I gotta get you know the book over here. You were born for this by this white woman. Or potentially non-black. Well, non-black person. I can't say she white. Mm-hmm. Is she a good resource? Is there something I need to know about her?
I don't know. That's on my reading list. That's one of the books that's on my list that I have not read yet. Okay. I've heard good things about that book. You're like the third or fourth person to like point out that author and that particular title. But I don't know. I haven't gotten to it.
Mm-hmm. I haven't done my lateral research as Sam always tells me to do. Get to the Googles and I'm lazy, so I don't. But I will, you know, I'll do that and I'll let y'all know if there's something we should know. Something we should be wary of. Thank you, Julie.
I liked the blurb on the back. I liked the description of it on Amazon. So it's in my cart.
I think Lena of the Bag Ladies had put it in her bag. And I was like, well, if Lena recommends it, I'm about to read it. So in addition to being a spiritual hoe, and thank you so much for all the information you've given us.
A spiritual hoe. That's exactly what I am. A spiritual hoe.
You also live a whole nother life as an amazing cook. Or so it looks. I ain't tasted yet. But the videos on the Instagram, on the YouTube, be like, where's the cookbook, Dooley? Tell us a little bit about Dooley's food.
Yes. Okay. So the name of my YouTube channel is Dooley Does Food. Mm-hmm. Like, share, comment, subscribe, y'all. I'm trying to monetize. I have about 750 subscribers now.
Yeah.
Thank you. Woo. I'm super, super excited. I do my videos kind of like in a similar style to like Binging with Babbage, if you ever watch it, but you like, it's a voiceover and you can see me cooking. And I'm all about like education. Like I not only want to like make this thing and show y'all that I can like make this thing, but I also want to like empower you to have the like the audacity and the courage to get out there and cook. Try to do fun stuff to keep things, people engaged. It's funny. I try to embed humor and little moments like in a video. But Dooley Does Food has been something that I should have made ages ago, but I was also very like, can I do this? Very like, I was terrified. How was it actually like born? So let's go back to March of 2020. The world is slowing down. We're like, girl, what's going on? It's looking real bleak out here. But right before we locked down, I had a coworker, I know y'all been to an ice cream truck, but like the strawberry shortcake on the stick, she wanted a birthday cake just like that. And I was like, I got this. I can do this. So I spent like 8 hours baking this cake. It was a triple tier lemon chiffon cake. And then the layers were supposed to have strawberry ice cream in between the cake layers. And then it was frosted I mimicked the strawberry shortcake like kind of crunch. So it was Oreos, freeze-dried strawberries, and all this other stuff. Like, it was great. I was so excited for this cake. And I was like, okay, well, I need ice cream. So I bought this Baskin-Robbins strawberry ice cream to put through the layers and quickly learned that the ice cream that you get in the freezer is trash. It melted before I could finish frosting the cake. So now I had this big puddle. So my initial thought was like, Jamil, you're smart. Like, you can make ice cream. And that's when it clicked. It just so happens that that's when lockdown started. So I was like, I'm finna put my time and my energy into actually like putting together this channel. Like, I know that I can cook, but like, you know, it's scary putting yourself. I'm sensitive about my shit. Like, I'm scared to like put myself out there. And so I just started, and then people really enjoyed it. So that's kind of how it got started.
Mm-hmm. I love it. You're doing great, honey. Top three. No, I'm serious though. I'm serious. top three romantic dishes that one should cook to woo bae this winter.
Ooh. Okay, that depends. I feel bad for the bottom girls that are out there, because you know, sometimes you gotta watch what you eat, and if you expect a certain amount of like dick.
Good point.
So it's like, that's always kind of weird for me. Because I'm like, I don't know what to tell the girls to make, because I don't want you to be like me. Like, I'm exuberant. Like, my food is all like, it's kind of grandiose. It's decadent. Very much about packet flavor.
Yeah.
If you're a vegan girl, you probably shouldn't watch my channel, because we use butter and chicken grease over here. Like, what would I tell someone to make? I'm a fan of Brussels sprouts, especially for the winter. It's a winter vegetable. I love to do, how do I explain this? So first, I will fry up some bacon. I set the bacon aside, but now I have this bacon grease. Mm-hmm. So I'll usually sweat some onion and some garlic and some mushrooms in the bacon fat. Then I prepare the Brussels sprouts. I take off the shells and half them, or sometimes quarter them. Mm-hmm. I put them in a bowl and I season them. I usually do like an earthy kind of flavor profile. There's cumin, there's smoked paprika, salt, pepper, all this stuff. And then I toss it in the bacon fat and with the vegetables, and then I roast them. Ooh. For like 30 or 40 minutes. So then you have this nice caramelized, very full of flavor Brussels sprout dish. And then you dice up the bacon and you sprinkle it on top. But wait, there's more. Then you finish it off with a little bit of honey or maple syrup.
Ooh. See, now that's actually how I prepare Brussels sprouts. But I like them crispy, and I've gotten an air fryer. So I will toss it all in the bacon fat and then pop that bitch in my air fryer for the crisp.
Yes. Yes.
Spoke
I love
my
a
heart.
Brussels sprout. That's always fun. What else would I, something that's romantic. I mean, wine makes everything sexier.
Yes.
So sure anything does. That you can prepare with a wand. So like pasta, I think would be a good option. Mm-hmm. I really want to free Black people from the chains of Alfredo. There are 101 different ways to make pasta. Like
not the shackles of the Alfredo Jesus.
You know, and also be kind to your bottom. Like, you don't have to have a cream sauce. You can do a little tomato and basil.
Yes,
you definitely can. Like, you definitely can.
Or you can do like a pesto. That's basically herbs, some oil, some pine. Like, there are options. You do not have to be a slave to our Alfredo God. Like, let her go. What else? I mean, they say things that like, you have to use your tongue for it makes things more sensual. I think that's because we just nasty and we try to find any way to like embed sex in something. But I suppose you could do like a little bit of seafood. You can do a crab leg. You can do an oyster. You can
do oysters.
Some girl. I don't know.
Okay. I love it all. I love it all. Yeah, okay. Honestly.
All of it.
It could be almost anything. I love a steak.
Yes.
I love a steak. You can do a seasoned butter. I like to do a garlic herb butter.
Yes.
Sometimes I like to do blue cheese. I do blue cheese, walnuts, mushrooms, and then maybe some like rosemary. You drop it on top and just kind of infuse it with the brown butter. Like it's, I think that's sexy.
Y'all got the head right. I'm saying to you
right exactly. I'm saying like if this was not enough for you, then like
there's a whole directory, a whole place to go.
It's interesting, like with the and I think this is just like for like content creators. The stuff that you think is gonna hit is never hits. It's always the stuff that you just kind of do like as a labor of love that always like hits. Yeah. So like I did. People love this video that I did. It's a chicken katsu sandwich. So remember the girls were going up for the Popeye's chicken sandwich and they was fighting for it, throwing hands in the Popeye's with that sandwich.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, like if I had to make an entry, like what would I do? Uh-huh. Boom. No one has done an Asian-inspired chicken sandwich. They loved that video. Like that's one of the top ones. A buffalo chicken mac and cheese. People love that video.
Yeah.
My very first video was very, very ambitious because we were in quarantine and I couldn't get the materials that I needed to make whatever it was that day. So I make pasta by hand. I'm looking real rough, but there I am trying to fashion this pasta. That one is really, really fun. And then I did this video. It was a little mystery. It was for April Fool's last year.
Oh, yes.
But I make a Luther. The Luther burger is a triple cheeseburger made with Krispy Kreme donuts.
Wow.
But, you know, me and my sense of humor, there's Luther Vandross songs playing throughout the entire
video. That was
video.
A great video, dude. That was a really good one.
I love. Oh, man.
Yeah. Y'all definitely got to check. You got to check out Dooley Does Food. Dooley, let us know where people can follow you on the interwebs. And thank you so much for spending this hour with us. This is
amazing.
So
it's so full circle. I'm so happy that y'all invited me. I'm all over the place on the internet. You can find me on Twitter at _DooleyNoted_. That's _DooleyNoted_. I'm a key on Twitter. I feel like that's my most real self. It's real extra. It's real fun. Follow me. You can find me on Instagram and view all of my content at Dooley Noted with 2 underscores in the middle. That's DooleyNoted. You get cute gym selfies, you get food and everything in between. Or if you only want to view my food content, I'm Dooley Does Food on Instagram. YouTube, the name of my channel is Dooley Does Food. Like, share, comment, subscribe. And then you can also watch me every Sunday on Maddie Rants. Shout out, Matt. You can see me on Maddie Rand's YouTube channel. We have a weekly show called The Panel, where we talk about drag. We talk about Drag Race. And we talk about other LGBT-centric topics. Last week, I got to drag a little Boosie for a smooth 8 minutes. And it was cathartic.
Yes.
I just loved it.
Yes. Doing the work.
Love that kind of energy. Thank you so much, Dooley.
Thank you. I'm excited. My inner child is smiling. I was like,
yeah, I love it.
I made it.
If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you.
Yes, and if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inaho Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. And you can head to InahoUprising.com to pay a ho or to pop some merch. Mm-hmm. You guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on all social media platforms.
Yes, reminder that all of Dooley's social media will be in the show notes, and my social media is at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. You can go to greenchef.com/IHU100 and use code IHU100 to get $100 off, including free shipping, and you can have a lovely motherfucking week because you deserve to.
Bye.
Bye.